Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. We can't remember what we did last night, but we know we couldn't have gone better. We don't remember how we missed that fight, but we know it was the best night ever.
And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Round Table. What is up? It's your boy Manuelian.
Ew.
The third.
Manuelian.
Manuelian the third, who hails from Scotland.
Scotland. Like Scottsdale, Arizona, but also Scotland.
I want him to be regal today. And we got Bobice over there. Queen Bobice. Queen.
Angela's like, you just gave away my name. Yeah.
No, like, Queen, pause, you know, as in babe, like you, the Queen, you know, like actually like the Queen. Okay. And then we got Be Real over here. And you know what else we got, y'all? We got the best wine we've had.
Oh.
Manny's wine.
Manny's shout favorite. Out to everybody sitting at the kids' table at Thanksgiving.
Hey, that was all the kids that want to do the toast at the end and New Year's. They get themselves, since 1868, Martinelli's Gold Medal, Gold Medal Organic Sparkling Cider. Martinelli's. Look, today, you know, in case you are that person that doesn't like to drink the old vino, you know, we're going to give you some other options. Sparkling cider.
Podcast for the people.
From Martinelli's. You know, guys, this is where I live in my life, you know. I'm going to be drinking a couple glasses of this. It contains no alcohol, so I'm going to be driving. I'm just being more responsible. And, I'm just giving you guys something about life. This is something that you can really enjoy that'll bring life to your life. The nectar of the
family
gods.
Family friendly for sure.
The nectar of the gods.
And it's organic.
Cheese. Cheese. Yeah. Hey, nobody has to taste it to see if it's good. It's amazing.
Shout out to Organico.
Tastes like apple juice.
Yes.
Because it is.
That's good.
So good.
More sugary
what is this, a 68?
Yeah.
That's good. It was a good year for the Montanellis.
Oh, gosh, you guys. I'm feeling so good. We started off right. My mouth tastes fresh, not like feet. And that'll lead us into our episode today.
Will it?
No. Yeah, it's going to lead perfectly into our episode called Good Intentions, Bad Habits. Now, that's a dichotomy and oxymoron.
Pause.
At the same time.
Which is why
Bonzo.
I made him sit in his place.
No. This is real. This is real right here. I'm going to keep all this.
This is the quirks.
This is our
Bonzo.
This is our dog with
the boy
toy.
Boy.
He's your boy.
For those of you who follow us on Instagram, you'll see our boy. That was him playing. He doesn't know. He's a G-Unit soldier. Anyways, good intentions, bad habits. Look, here's what we're talking about. There are things that we do that on the surface seem like a very good idea. Like it's... No one would say it's bad. It's
right.
A bad habit. But the same good intention leads us to the worst places all the time. Some of you may have it. It could be your generosity. You could be a very giving person, but then you realize that every person you give to that doesn't give back, you now have something against them because they didn't do for you what you've done for them. It could be something else. What yours would be... What was you saying yours were, babe?
There's a bunch. Well, you want me to just go into it?
Well, just real quick.
Oh,
just be quick about your issues.
No, just like
taking time for myself and creating a healthy boundary is a good intention, and then the bad habit becomes expecting people to do things on my time.
In your terms. What was yours, Bobice?
Really great intention to be friends with so many people and be a part of so many different things in life. Not a great habit when you don't have your roots down anyway. You just have like branches spreading all over the place.
Mm, be real.
My habit was, my intention was wanting to make everyone else around me happy. But by doing that, my bad habit is overextending myself when I don't have the time.
These are all, and maybe you found yourself somewhere in that realm of things. But all things that are good intentions on the surface, on the face value, it's like, man, these are all good things. You know what I'm saying? Like you want to be around everybody, you know, you want to set up healthy boundaries for yourself. You want to be good to people, but then it ends up being your own demise. That is what we're talking about, good intentions, bad habits. If anybody wants to lead it off, or I can lead it off.
I'll go.
Go.
Okay.
Hey, go.
We'll race you.
So basically, I have...
Manny's high on the Martinelli's.
One sip
in. Here got him feeling effed up.
This is his drug of
He's
choice.
He's lit, y'all.
I have been touring on the road for over 12 years, and over time, I have had to learn how to replenish myself because I would drain myself. I would empty my cup, and I would come home, and I'd be empty, and I would just, like, lock myself away. And so I've had to create, like, healthy boundaries for myself, and kind of ties into what you're saying, Brand, is not overextend myself. Mm. So, like, I'm on the road and I have 2 days off back home. Don't commit to hanging out with this friend, with that friend, go to this event that they have planned, go to this birthday party, whatever, but create a healthy boundary. And if you need some time for yourself, take that time for yourself so that you can replenish your cup in whatever way that looks like for you in your life, replenishing your cup, but doing that. And that is a healthy boundary with a good intention. Like, I just need to fill up my cup. But then what it would turn into is, hey, friends, if you want to be friends with me, you got to do it on my terms. I'm too tired to leave my house. So if you want to be my friend, you got to be cool with watching Law & Order SVU because that's what I'm doing. And if you want to spend time with me, that's what you got to do, spend time with me. And it can easily become a friendship that looks like my way or the highway. Mm. And that's a bad habit.
Well, I mean, that's happened to a lot of... We all kind of travel. I don't know if you guys have traveled as much as we have, because I did the same thing. Mm. And what pissed me off is I noticed that nobody's life stopped. Everyone's life kept going without me. And then I would come back and be upset that their life kept going. And I expected everybody's life to stop. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Because you'd be traveling so much that when you get back, it's like, hey, everybody, I'm here now. Come do friendship my way. So? And they're like, nah, bro, we busy.
All right. Mm.
You know what I'm saying? We busy. We got things going on. And while you left, we went and got a life.
And in the words of Drake, I gave your nickname to somebody else.
Yeah.
He's referencing to a girl. But, like, I even think about friendships like that. Like, even when I was in college, I'll open up and talk a little bit about that. Drake. Was that, like, you know, I'm, like, trying to be, like, social with my peers. But I'm on the road every other week for season. Mm-hmm. Right? So you're a full-time student. Mm. You're a full-time athlete. And I'm running a ministry at that point. And it was just like, you know, these relationships would kind of have to be put on hold. You know, so in the connection that you felt in that moment, realizing because I'm going to be on the road, we're probably not going to have this connection on the way back. Mm. And so in the same way that you're like, hey, what's up, man? I'm like, he's probably like, hey, what's up, man, to some new guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And that's always a tough thing. But even in college, I like, and Elise, I'm sure she'll hit on this too, but like growing up as a pastor's kid, you have like this like thing inside of you where you just like, you want to be a good reflection of your parents because they're in ministry, they're in the spotlight, they have this platform, people are looking, they're hearing their sermons and they're like, oh my God, your dad has changed my life. Like he spoke at my youth camp back in 65, you know, and just
65, my dad's 100.
And you're like, wow, that's like a lot to live up to. But there's this thing that's instilled in you is just like, I just want everybody to be happy with me. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to be too abrasive. I don't want to really speak my mind on things because people might like get up in arms or they might feel away if I truly express who I am. So you learn to how to kind of just be a chameleon. And even our personality type is threes, three. Like the ability to just come into a room and I can morph into whatever, whoever is in that room. Mm. And I could get you to like me for the most part.
One would call that a good look would be, oh, he's personable.
Adaptable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's personable. He knows how to be, he knows how to make people feel good.
Right.
While making himself not be authentic.
Exactly. And so in college, I'm a full-time student, like a full workload. And then basketball, I mean, we're practicing 4 to 5 hours every day with weights, practice and all that. And then on top of that, I'm running a ministry. And my friends and I had started a house of prayer on our campus. So I absolutely have no time. At this point, the concept of like taking care of me is kind of non-existent. Mm. So there came a point, and because I'm such an achiever, I can go, go, go. Like my work capacity is huge. If you ask me to do anything, I'll probably do it. Now I kind of be like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah.
But back then, I'd do anything. And so I'm discipling kids. I call them kids now, but my peers, college students. And I just remember getting calls early in the morning. Like, I'd get, like, 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I'm getting a call at 2 o'clock in the morning. Hey, man, I'm stuck at this party. I need you to come pick me up, man. I'm not doing too good.
Oh, wow.
And I'm thinking about 6 a.m. practice the next morning. So it got to the point where I was so burnt out and I was so tired. I'm just glad I didn't have, like, a mental collapse. Like, where I just broke down. And I just remember, I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Because I realized I was giving, 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 and my intention was to make them happy, to empower them, to love them, to make them feel like they have somebody. But when it got to the point where I can no longer be me, then I'm like, oh, this is really unhealthy. And I, and again, too, I think for a lot of people who I've seen in ministry, this is the road they go down, you know? And I think now we're, we have a better awareness as a church and in church culture, like, hey, sabbaticals, you're seeing a lot more pastors take that. Like, there's some pastors who you'll hear, they haven't taken a sabbatical. And for those of you who don't know what sabbatical is, it's like a break, essentially. Just kind of get refreshed.
Work break.
But you'd see them like, this is the first sabbatical we've taken in 25 years. You're like, oh my goodness, this is extremely unhealthy. You know, because you are giving, 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 and you're never pouring into yourself. And so anyways, I kind of saw the road down what that would lead. And I was just like, man, what does this look like next year for me? I already feel what it feels like in 4 months. What does this look like in 6 months, in a year? And I was like, okay, I need to start making some changes. And that's when I started like reading like other books other than just like Christian revival books. And I was just like, oh, how do I take care of me? Like, what does this look like? And so the intention the whole time was like, I wanted others around me to win, but they can't truly win if I'm not winning in my own life. And it's connected, you know?
Oh, 100%, 100%. What was yours, Bobies?
Mine was kind of similar, like just worded differently, like a female, you know? But it was like the good intention is saying yes, like Jim Carrey, was that movie, Yes Man? Like saying yes to things, like being all about it, working hard at so many different things. The bad habit that forms is that I can tend to, if I'm a tree, not have roots down anywhere and just be like in a lot of different places. So when a storm comes or when something happens, then like I'm screwed because one, I don't really know where to go. Being a three on the Enneagram, who really knows me? Who do I feel safe with? And that was, has been a pattern a lot. Again, growing up in church, being the church kid, I really like boasted in myself in a sense about the fact that like I knew how to be adaptable and flexible and all that kind of stuff. And I've said that a lot in on the podcast that you can like justify and spiritualize a lot of different things. Doesn't mean that like Jesus would agree with you, but we can often use that. And even what you were saying, Brandon, about the sabbatical, I've heard so many pastors boast about the fact that they had never taken a sabbatical. Like I don't need a day off. Well, it was kind of like, if you want to go with the law, the 10 laws that like God set out, which a lot of people do, hey bro, one of them's like, you know, rest, take a Sabbath. And they're like, but I don't murder. I don't like cheat on my wife. I don't drink alcohol. First of all, that wasn't a law, but you won't take a Sabbath. Like you got to rest. And I think I found, as a pattern in my life, and I've talked about this a little bit, but it's really something I'm on a journey of getting to the bottom of right now, of my friendships and relationships and being able as a strength of mine to connect with a lot of different people. And just kind of going deeper into that of like, why do I feel like I can't just stop at a connection? Like, why do I have to win in terms of friendships or relationships or like just go so far down a road before I'm like, I mean, this relationship isn't, you know, really one that I want. Why do I have to do that? And the intention being like creating friendships, bringing walls down, which is really important. And some people don't have that strength. But when I take that to the bad habit of, oh man, like the people that are meant to be family to me, my core people, are they around me right now? Like who am I being influenced by right now? And do I have good people around me so that I can have, using that metaphor, branches in different places because I know my roots are deep with my people that are going to keep me centered, keep me grounded, keep me on track for my call in my life. Because I think the intention of being and doing so many things, especially in our day and age, especially with Instagram, especially with all the social medias telling you what everybody's doing at all times, it's really easy to say yes with everything. And even in a city like LA, there is a emphasis, I think, on events. Like, there's just something happening every single hour of the day that you can go to. But in order for me to have power in my yes, I have to say no to some things. Because if I'm saying yes to everything, then my yes means nothing anymore.
Right.
And I'm certainly not in a place to be able to put authority behind that because I'm exhausted. I have nothing to give to that yes as well.
Yeah, so. There was a time you and Pensifer were doing this in the same week, which I was laughing because I was talking to both of you guys and you guys were saying yes to things that you didn't want to say yes to. And both of y'all were coming back like, damn, I wish I didn't do that. And I'm like, why do you guys keep saying yes to things, man? I don't get it. And I don't know if you figured it out yet. You know what I'm saying? I think it's there has to be something in there that makes this like that it's doing something for you. I don't know if it's
ego is the wrong word,
but yeah,
for sure it does. No, it's everyone has an ego. Like that's cute that it was like, oh, I don't want to be like, is it an ego thing?
I don't know. Like, no, but some people desire to be loved, or they like that somebody calls them and invites them places. You know what I'm saying?
Mine's not like being needed. Like it's not necessarily the helping people. I just like being the center of attention. Like it just.
No, I feel you.
Someone's in their car right now, like, oh God. Hey, at least I'm self-aware. Self-awareness is key.
Some people enjoy being the center of attention. Yeah.
It's a little bit of the challenge as well. And
with people for sure.
And if you're used to a certain thing, like let's say you're used to when you walk into a room, you know that you're so quick-witted that you can say a funny one-liner and everyone in the room is gonna turn their head and notice you and go, oh, she's funny. I like her. And so then you get used to that. And so when you go into a room, you know the card to play.
Mm-hmm.
And if that doesn't happen right away, now it becomes
one of your
like
other cards.
A challenge. And that doesn't necessarily mean you want every single person in this room to be your best friend, but it's you've kind of created this for yourself of like, I'm used to getting everyone in the room to at least like me.
Mm-hmm.
And now that's your energy.
Totally. It's such a three thing. God.
Yeah, I know. That was like the one part of my, like it was, I think at first when I was like trying to break that, I went to the opposite end of the spectrum where I became so much more introverted.
Yes.
And so like now my yeses are like very rare.
Yeah.
And like, even if that's at the extent of people misunderstanding who I am, I'm good with it at this point because I'm like, I know my interior world because I have to live with that every single day. And if that's good and I'm at peace and I got joy in my life and I'm feeling fulfillment and I'm going the direction of my dreams and passions, I'm good. Mm-hmm. Now, once I didn't like me and how I was, because like, again, during the day, I'm like, yo, I could chop it up. I know all the right things to say for the most part. But at night when I'm sleeping in my bed and I'm just burnt out and I'm overextended and I realize that I haven't been alone for a single hour in the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't like me like that.
Mm.
So I'd much rather say no to a lot of people. And again, sometimes it was a little bit of the ego coming in. So I'm thinking I could be someone's savior. So it's a little bit of that savior complex of like, look, I got the right thing to tell you.
Somebody needs you.
Yeah, I'm going to be your life coach. I'm going to get you to where we need to get to. Mm. And that's, again, that's ego talking. And so I realize now I'm like, hey, the people who are in my life, I'm very selective with who I'm investing in on life. Mm-hmm. Now, again, through podcasts, through sermons, all that stuff, the ability to influence people who are listening, right? There might be something that grabs their attention and they realize, oh, that's really good. I could grab onto that. But again, doesn't necessarily mean that if you lived here in LA, I'm going to be like, hey, what time we're grabbing lunch tomorrow? Let's grab some coffee. We're going to talk life or whatever. I'm just like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing I found in like being in ministry as well and feeling called to people is the difference between the boundaries I set person to person and the influence you can have with social media, with podcasts, all that kind of stuff, because so many people can feel like they know you. And I have made that decision. A lot of people, like I've made the decision to do that. We've all made that decision to open up and want friendships and relationships with people.
Right.
But that can sometimes be difficult for me to say no when they're like, so now let's be actual best friends in real life. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I have time for that. And so that's been a big,
no, I just wanted you to laugh at my joke.
Yeah. I just wanted you to like me. No.
Yeah.
But seriously, but I think for me, it's that you said something interesting that you went on the other end of the spectrum, which I think when good intentions become bad habits and then you reach a breaking point, then it's so easy to go the other episode, like end of the spectrum. And for me, green rooms became hell. Like, just, I hated everyone in there. And I was so critical of everything anyone did, like, for a good 8 months. And just would be sitting in there and, like, someone would say hi and I would intentionally ignore them. Like, which is so rude and so not me as well. But I think when you've been burnt and you've been hurt by things that started as good intentions, mm-hmm. but because you allowed them, honestly, taking self-responsibility, they became bad habits. It's really easy to go the other end of the spectrum, which is sometimes what I can see and have experienced in my own life, where being burnt out, being hurt, whether it's by a church, by relationships, by any, it can be anything. It can cause us to swing in that good intention of creating boundaries or not saying yes or being able to call out when things are bad or ugly can then lead to its own
isolation or insulation.
Bad habit of like cynicism. And
well, it
like,
flips.
It can
now
flip.
Now your bad habit is your main intention.
Mm. Yeah, is you being like just mad and angry at everyone and not giving anybody room to prove themselves, whether it's good or bad. Like it's, I feel like my life is like hashtag extreme Elise, where it's like always on the pendulum going from one to the other, just trying to find some freaking
trying because it's natural. It's natural because what you're doing is self-preservation, and that's like instinct. That's no longer like cognitive. It's you are doing this because you're trying to save yourself. You know what I'm saying? So you're retreating. Because if you don't, you literally feel like this stuff is going to kill you. At least emotionally, it's going to kill you. You know what I'm saying? For me, it was initially, you know, what I was going to talk about was my generosity. Like, I'm a big giver, and I love to give. But then I recently noticed that every person that I've lent money to that hasn't paid me back, we're no longer friends. And it's not even because of me. It's because the person that borrowed the money feels so bad that they had no intention of paying it back that they don't even want to talk to me now. Mm. Like, it's like, we ain't talking because it's like, they probably think that I'm super upset. And I'm like, man, that sucks. I was talking to a friend, Desmond Child. He's like a massive songwriter. And he told me,
I was like, this isn't a guy that like borrowed money from you. He probably shouldn't say his full name.
He's a good dude. He's like a massive writer in the world. And he told me, he's like, Manny, I have an ATM life now because I have hundreds of thousands of dollars out there that nobody's paid back. So he goes, I have an ATM rule now. And he's like, my friends can come to me for money, but they can only withdraw $200. That's the limit to my ATM. And you don't have to pay it back. That's the one and only time you'll come to me from here on out. And I'm like, that's kind of a good rule of thought, because you're telling them, hey, you can come to me. If you need money, $200 is the limit. Don't ever ask for anything again. But that's your one ATM thing. And I was like, man, he's older now. And he's like, he has way more money. And so he's probably lent a lot and hasn't gotten paid back. But there's destruction in that, because I've never had any, I don't have these friendships anymore. So now it's like, man, it's probably not, I don't know if I do well enough in deciding on who I'm going to lend to. You know what I'm saying? I think I just end up lending because I feel bad about people's situations.
Why?
Because I remember being broke.
Right.
And not having anybody to go to, which is why I got into a life of crime, because it was like, I can't go to nobody, so I just got to figure this out myself. So I just started robbing and doing my thing and making money, and it's like, that's what it is. You know what I'm saying?
So it's almost like that good intention of like, I'm giving to someone what I wish I'd had.
Yeah, just
can move into that overextending.
And I always think in my mind, I don't lend to people, I lend to Jesus. You know, that's what the word teaches. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you give to the least of these, you're giving to him. So I'm just like, you know what, God, you'll pay me back, you know? But it didn't change the fact that I lost the friendships.
The friendships were more important.
So it became a negative thing. My even deeper thing was, when I was thinking about this topic, was when I was super, 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 super church boy. Like, and I'm not saying I was massively in the church. I'm like 5 days in the church, human videos.
5 days?
I love that he talks about the human videos.
Human videos.
Australia did not have that.
You guys didn't have that?
No.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't grow up.
Dramas.
You were so bummed.
I used to.
Yeah. Oh, we had drama, but not these human videos where I would just see bodies moving to worship songs.
The music.
I was like, wow.
Yeah. No. So I did all of it. Like, I was in. I was one of the leaders. I was like a discipler. I was everything. And I would be at church like 5 days a week. On top of that, going to Bible college. And so like with my parents, they would always make fun of me. They'd be like, oh, you're a church boy or whatever. And anytime I made a mistake, they would call it out. And they'd be like, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were a Christian. They were the typical things. Mm-hmm. Like, they would just call me out. And I'm like, man, I would just like preach at them. You know, I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord. And one day I was like, man, God, some sermon, which is probably everybody has heard a sermon like this, but it's like, how can you go out and like save the world, but you can't save your own household? Mm. And it really like hit me like, damn, I'm affecting a lot of people, but my parents still don't think I'm a real Christian. Like, what am I doing wrong? I'm telling them all the right verses. Yeah. I'm preaching at them so good. I got
my illustrations down.
I'm doing so good. It's the equivalent of the Instagram world who likes sending DMs mm-hmm. about some stupid ish.
Come for me.
Yeah.
Eventually
I asked the Lord, I really prayed and I was like, God, what do you want me to do? Like, how do I save my parents? And no joke, this is what he told me. He said, you have to quit everything. And so everyone at the church thought I was crazy because who in their right mind is going to quit every ministry?
How old were you?
I was at this point, I was probably like 21, 22. Mm. I was in that realm. And I quit everything, quit leadership.
Did you have your afro yet? Just so I can visualize.
No. I didn't. I had my faux hawk.
You had a faux hawk?
Yeah, bro.
Was that
white boy haircut?
Pre-beanie?
Yeah.
And puka shells?
No. It was in that realm. So I quit everything and I was like, man, people are gonna think I've backslidden. But I heard the Lord tell me, and he's like, just be home. Just be there. So I went home and I told my parents, I was like, guys, I quit all the ministries, quit everything. I just want to let you know, Mom, I'm here for you. If you need me to go to the grocery store with you, if you need me to go get you something, take you to get your whatever, take you to pay your bills, because she still pays bills in person. I'm like, Dad, if you need anything from me, I'm going to be right here. I ain't going nowhere. So every day I would come home after doing what I need to do, and I would just sit in my room, and I would let my parents know, hey, guys, I'm here if you need me. And they never needed me. For anything. Mm-hmm. Maybe my mom once in a while would be like, can you take me here? Can you take me there? But this was a year. I did this for a year.
Wow.
A whole year. I was just like, cool.
Thank God there was no Instagram.
By the end of that year, my dad stopped drinking.
Jeez.
My mom and dad stopped arguing. My dad came up to me and said, son, I'm not a spiritual guy. Which he told you this just recently. He goes, I'm not a spiritual guy, but I pray every day for you. He's like, I'm praying every day. And I'm like, he's never said this to me in my life. So the entire dynamic of my house changed. Mm. And ever since then, I do not remember the last time. I can say and that was like 10 years ago, even more. I can probably maybe remember on my one hand the amount of times I've seen my parents get in an argument. I cannot remember the last time me and my mom argued or me and my dad argued or my dad's been drunk. I cannot remember. I just can't. And it was all from like staying home. So my good intention of going to church and being something of a minister to people ended up being a bad habit because my own family didn't know God. And it was because they couldn't see him. Mm. Mm. They heard me talk about him.
Right.
I preached to him, but they didn't see him in me because I'm there spending 40 hours a week at a church, mm-hmm. and I can't even like help my parents out with anything.
Right.
Because I'm too busy being at the church.
Yeah. What we're trying to say is quit the church. That's not what we're saying. Nobody's saying that for the record.
It is very much of you to take stock and be like, what are you spending your time in? Like, legit, like, parents, if you want to affect your kids, I always get this. I always get parents when I was traveling. How do I fix my kid? You know, like they don't this and they don't that. And I'm like, well, do you talk to them? Are you around them? Are you like whatever? And it's mainly like, nah, I'm not. But you want to be an influence in their life just because you have the title of a parent. Mm-hmm. But it's not until you like let someone see you do life to where they gain respect for who you are. And if your words line up to what it is you're acting like, you know what I'm saying? And so that junk turned real quick, and it woke me up to what it meant to do real ministry.
Yeah,
I no longer thought that real ministry had to happen in the church. Now I was like, nah, man.
That's such a good big decision that you made, because you could easily look at it and say, but this is good what I'm doing in the church. Like, why would I stop doing something that's good? But it's you being faithful to what you felt in your spirit and what God mm-hmm. was telling you to do. So sometimes these things may look like something good, and that's why we keep doing them for so long, is because it's a good thing. That's why we do it for so long, because it's a good thing. But then it turns into a bad habit.
Well, me and B were having that conversation over sushi last night or the night before we went to go watch. You were asking
yourself. We get it. You're best friends. I wasn't there.
You were invited.
Yeah, this was Friday night. And it's crazy because, again, at that time, I was very much so black and white with a lot of my beliefs. Mm. I think it at one point had crossed the line into being legalistic, where it was no longer about me being motivated by love, but it was me being motivated about being right. And so for me in college, here I am, like, you know, I'm in the who's who circles of the Christian world. I am a Division I basketball player. I got a full ride to play at Cal. I'm coming off my best season. I'm starting. I'm one of the captains on the team. Like, you know, everything, all cylinders are firing. And I just remember at that time, like, a big message was this thing, and it's this word in the church called being consecrated. And essentially it means to be like to be set apart for a cause. And so in the same way that someone would find a cause and devote their entire life towards that thing. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, hey, God has this amazing calling for my life. I am going to devote everything to that. I have a call on my life that I am going to influence the world out there. And so it was always kind of like these things that weren't actually around you at that time, but it was out there. And I got to such a place in my set apartness for God that I wasn't actually able to be in the world of my teammates. Hmm. It's honestly the biggest regret of my life.
Wow.
Because it's crazy because there's still moments where I feel weird reaching out to some of my teammates because I realize like I did such a shitty job as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like God put you in my life to love you. And I'm so concerned with like being set apart for God that I can't even hang out with you.
Wow.
And like, I just remember thinking like, I didn't get it until my senior year really. And at that point it's late because guys are graduating every year. And my intention was that I wanted to give everything to God. And my bad habit was that I gave so much to him in a way that I cut myself off from the people who were actually around me that I was called to just love really well. So instead of me giving, like, I was supposed to give everything to Jesus, but I wasn't actually being like him. Mm-hmm. There's a huge difference. And I learned such a valuable lesson. And I promised God at that point, at the end of that, where I really learned, I was like, okay, I think my intention was good. I think it crossed the line. But I promised mm-hmm. God that I will, whoever you put in my life around me, I will love to the very best. And it's crazy because it was like, how could I have thought that insulating myself from these guys who around me, my teammates, who were actually doing life together every single day.
Right.
That, like, you look at Jesus, and it was like the worst of the worst people loved to be around him. And he was okay with being with them. Yeah. He was okay with being labeled as the guy who's hanging out with the prostitutes and the tax collectors. And, like, so who am I to think that I'm even above him, that somehow I could be separated from hanging out with dudes who got good hearts? They just might be stuck in some shit, you know? And so, yeah, my intention was so good. And I remember being such a zealous, young, passionate 20-somethings. And I'm so glad God broke me. And I'm so glad I went through hell because that shook it out of me.
Yeah.
Dude, that reminds me of when I used to be that guy. And there's people that are like this where I would walk around and if an unsafe person would curse,
oh yeah,
I would react.
Oh yeah, I'd feel my spirit like, whoa.
Like, I don't know if I need to be here, you know? Like, I'd be like, kind of like expecting them not to curse around me or like, and curse is the wrong word, cuss. I'm sorry. Cuss, not to cuss around me. Or if they walk, like, I'm expecting unsafe people to like live like me. And if they don't, I'm like, oh, I can't be around you because, you know, I'm trying to live a sanctified life. So I can't be around these things. And I'm like,
and drinking too. That was another big thing for me. It was like guys were like going out drinking. I mean, like we're of age at that point. And I was like, oh no, you know. And so it's funny because years later, like I'm sure a Brandon during that time will look at Brandon now at 28 and be like,
I can't be hanging on to
this guy. He lost his way.
This guy. oh God, please bring him back to the fold. Uh-huh. And 28 me would be looking at 21 me and be like, nigga, you do not get it.
Yeah.
As I sip this wine. Actually, it's apple cider.
You know what?
Right,
I was just talking to William about this yesterday, our friend William, who was a guest on season one, about how it translates as failure sometimes in this deconstruction phase. Even though I know I feel liberated and like I talk about like old me would have said this to this person, that to that person. And I know like where I'm at, I feel like I'm on the right path and I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. But I know that people that I have been linked up with in the church would look at me and say, oh, she fell away. Mm. Hollywood got her. Because that's who I was. I was that girl saying that. Yeah. And so even though I'm very confident in where my faith is and where I'm at in my relationship with God, I know in the back of my mind that there's someone that I used to be linked up with saying, oh, we lost another one. And it's so hard because it still registers as failure. Mm. To me a little bit, even though I know I'm not, I know I'm in the best place possible. There's part of me that it registers as failure because I was how young Brandon was.
Yeah.
I think it's like, even as you were saying that, Brandon, about like Jesus was with the worst of the worst. And I think back and I'm like, man, he did it so good. Like all of us are talking about an extreme moment where their minds being with everyone in a sense at times and can be easily influenced. Or it's the person that isolates themselves and pulls completely away from people, or the person that's judgmental, which is as bad or worse than any of them, is judging the people that are the tax collectors, the prostitutes, whatever that is in 2019, the Instagram influencers, whatever.
Yeah,
it is.
The Saudis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The IG Saudis. Yeah.
Hashtag hot girl summer, something like that.
It's over. We're going to, what's the one for the fall?
Hot girl fall? I don't know.
No, it's like, it's some Christian girls came up with it.
No.
Pumpkin spice lattes with a Bible.
No, it was like a, I'm going to look up that up and I'm going to put it on the Instagram.
Done.
Mm-hmm. But modesty is radical.
Okay. It's like, it's this thing of like, I'm looking at how Jesus did it and he was with the crowd. Then he came back to his people, his 12 boys. And then he took his moment with God, like he would withdraw. And then he'd go back to the crowd. He'd be with his people. And then he'd spend time with Jesus. And I think like all of our intention is to do that. I just feel like whether it's personality or our past, we all get tripped up in one area of that. And I'm sure another area would be like, I'm sure he heard the Pharisees. I'm sure he heard the people that were mm-hmm. talking about him. And I feel like those four areas of like being with the crowd, trying to be everything to everyone, being with your people and who are those people that are close to you in your circle, spending time away to withdraw with God and not listening to the voices of the other people. I think that can kind of be summed up with that we're all intending to do the good, to do the balance of all those things. I think just sometimes what happens is those bad habits, one of those areas or more creeps up on us. And it's not you're a bad person. It's not you screwed up again. You don't say to an addict, for example, like if they relapse, oh, I guess you're back to square one and you never got clean ever. Mm. Like, and if you are, you're a jerk and should like, you're a toxic person. And we have a whole episode on that. But no, they just get back up and they start again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the big thing is that people wouldn't feel like a failure. Wouldn't, whether it's right or wrong, would never feel like, oh man, like, man, I have been overextending myself and I'm exhausted and I feel burnt out and I feel really confused about my life. That's not then meant to lead me into a month of like whipping myself and going into shame and guilt. That's like, oh, let me adjust myself on course. Like, let me just adjust this so that my good intention can stay good and my bad habit can, you know, you take what works and leave the rest that doesn't work. So.
Or more so where the good intention doesn't turn into a bad habit because they're not even separated. The good intention is the bad habit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If at left
the extreme,
too long,
that's good.
Unattended with balance, you know? Yeah. And it's almost like every single person that, and I laugh because, you know, this week Ange went off on this girl that came at her on Instagram. who 1,000% she thought she was having good intentions.
Oh, believe she put lots of happy face emojis in there.
I'm a big fan. She reminded me
how she was my big fan.
There's so many people. I had somebody say the same thing. Like mm-hmm. they have good intentions because they literally think they're coming at you on Instagram mm-hmm. and being real holy. And everything in them is like, you know, I'm gonna tell them the truth. You know, this is gonna mm-hmm. work. And I'm just really curious at the stats.
Yeah, where's that person that's like, you know what? I was going this way, and then I got a DM request. Not even like from a person they follow. Right. And like, it changed my life.
I went after them so many times. How many times have those people changed their minds and been like, you know what? Thank you for coming after me, even though you don't know me at all. I appreciate strangers rebuking me when they don't know my life.
The emojis really helped.
I'm curious at all the church police online that if you think that, like, you know, by you reaching out that you're really doing so. I mean, I'm sure there are good intentions. I 100% probably believe that it is.
Yes.
But maybe when somebody converts because of your good intention, maybe then you can consider that something good. If no one ever does and you're just greeted with negativity, then your good intention is definitely a bad habit.
I mean, it's the turn or burn guys outside of every concert.
Oh.
Like, their intention is to win you to Jesus.
Not
like,
really. I don't even think their intention is. I think their intention is to let you know you're going to hell.
Their intention, like, they're out there for a purpose. Right. So their intention is, the like, intention for they don't want you to go to hell.
The but, intention for the guys that I have been across that have talked to me personally when I asked them, because they were on when we were on the Toby Mac concert tour, I went out and I talked to them because I wanted to know their intention.
Of course you
got
did.
A story too.
I'm not. I wanted to know their intention because you're right. I'm not just talking crap.
Mm-hmm.
I asked them, what do you want from this?
Mm-hmm.
And their response was, y'all need to know you're going to hell for what you're doing. It wasn't to get me to heaven. It was so that we knew we were going to hell. And I was like, Toby's going
to hell? Bad intentions, worse habits.
If Toby's going to hell, I'm for sure going to hell.
You were like, but my soldiers.
I got no chance.
He's super good. I'm like, and that's what I told them. I was like, so you're telling me Toby Mac's going to hell? And they're like, yeah. I was like, look, because I understand me. I make some questionable music that y'all would probably not think is holy. But Toby? Have you seen him? Like, his music is so soft.
There was just a video out about Kirk Franklin. There was a guy outside of his concert, and he came out to talk to them.
Yeah.
And
oh, I saw that video.
And he was like, okay, why don't we get together after, and you really talk to me. Wow. And tell me what, and he went to shake his hand, and the guy wouldn't even shake
yeah.
wow. his
I
hand.
I have a similar story. There was this guy in Berkeley. So Berkeley is, like, such an eclectic, eccentric place. Like, mm-hmm. it's so weird that it's so cool, you know? So there's still, like, people that, like, live in the trees there from, like, mm-hmm. 70s and everything. Mm. So there's this one guy. He's a street preacher. He'd usually pop up on Bancroft and Telegraph, for those of you who know are familiar with the area. And he would go out there, man. He'd be going on these rants. Like, I'm like, I swear, that's not even in scripture. But he's, like, preaching it with the confidence like it is. Like, God himself came down and wrote it on a tablet just for my man on Telegraph. And I remember one point I went up to, like, try and shake his hand. He goes, I don't want to shake your hand. And I was like, calm down. He's like, I don't know what you do with your right hand, you masturbator. I was like,
what?
You masturbator.
No, like, I heard it. I was like,
well, yeah, okay, I get it.
It's like, bro, you don't even know me. I'm a lefty.
Oh my God.
That's what I would have said.
And I remember asking him once, I'm like, why are you here? And he goes, because people need to know the truth. I said, okay, so you're the person that's supposed to give them the truth. And he goes, yes, I am. God has told me in his word. And he starts going on this huge rant. And it's almost like a little robot. It was weird. There was no compassion, no empathy, anything there.
It's a script almost.
And so he's going down this whole thing. And I'm like, so you're telling me that you just want to be out here so you could be right, huh? This is what it sounded like. You're just out here so you're right and everyone else is wrong. And I was like, and he didn't really have a response to that. He starts going to another verse, and I said, bro, for those of us here who are actually trying to, like, win people to the Lord, please do me a favor and get the hell off our campus.
Come on.
And again, it was like a defining moment for me because I was like, yeah, I just told the street preacher, get the hell off my campus.
That's right.
And so again, it was kind of cool because like by the end of it, we didn't have too many of those street preacher guys because we'd always go over to them and be like, please, just please leave. You're not helping. How many people have you actually like won to the Lord out here?
Yeah.
And it's sad, but like it wasn't a high number. Of all the street preachers that came through Berkeley, I could just speak for Berkeley itself, from all the guys that I talked to, and they were all men, older white guys. Interesting. And there was maybe two guys that they had actually led to the Lord. But all those hours that they spent out there, I'm like, there's got to be a more effective way. Like, take spirituality out of this for a second.
Just business.
If you think of strategy and just numbers and time alone, you are wasting your time, my friend. And I don't care how you try and spiritualize it. We're planting seeds. Okay.
Heaven rejoices after one being saved.
But I'm like, there's got to be more. Heaven's only rejoiced twice. There's got to be a more effective, more excellent way.
Just in all things. In all things of what we're talking about when it comes to these good intentions, there's an effective way to accomplish what it is that you're intending to do. So, and I think the key would be balance. If you find yourself in one of these predicaments where you have done something that you can identify as a good thing, you're like, man, I'm always doing this thing and it keeps being brought back to me in this way. Stop and address whether or not your life is one of balance, that you can actually be like, you know what? This is a very good part of me. I like this part of me. Let me protect it a little bit. Let me just protect it a little bit so that it doesn't wear out, so that at some point I'm not like, oh, I hate this about myself. Because I was literally at that point. I was like, you know what? I'm not giving anybody no money. Forget that crap. The bank is closed. I ain't giving nobody nothing. I'm tired of this crap. But then I was like, that can't really be true because I'm still generous. And what if the Lord's like, yo, I need you to give this dude some money? I'm going to be like, nah, this nigga ain't going to pay me back.
Bank is closed, God.
Bank is closed, Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Like, nice try, Lord.
You don't want to find yourself in that place to where your good intentions, that good quality about you, becomes your least favorite thing about you because so many people have taken advantage of it. So we're just begging you, find balance in it. It's not that it's bad. It's just that sometimes you got to learn where to spend your time, where to spend your money, where to spend your emotions, where to spend you.
Where to draw a boundary.
And when you can do that and balance your life, we promise you that those good intentions will stay good acts. They won't even be intentions anymore. They'll be things that people can appreciate and not move into the bad habit territory. That is at least our hope when we share our little stories like this. And hopefully you get that from us. But we truly appreciate you hanging out. And this was definitely a good intended podcast. And we hope that you captured that, all of our intentions. None of it felt bad. And for those listening, please check us out on YouTube. Please check us out on Instagram and all the good things. We love you so much. Hey, we pray that you always have a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are welcome at our.
Always.
Always. Cheers.
Cheers.
Alone in the room and I'm thinking, why is a stranger lying next to me in my bed? I gotta stop drinking, cause money and women a hell of a mixture. Watching these lights start to flicker, money and sex they like sisters. I visit often, catch us together, what a family picture. Damn. And my mama told me never trust anyone who tells you to believe them, cause loyal women just don't talk it, they walk it, ain't giving my heart any reason to run for the hills like my crib in LA. Though I'm tired, you won't catch me sleeping, cause you hoes ain't loyal, you always been changing. It must be the season.
Toss and fling, but I just got one. Broke the rules and I didn't learn. Bad habits. Spend some time.
Nigga, you call me your brother, we had different mothers, but damn, I believe you. We had each other, the world was just watching, we could have blown up with these people. I
had you believing that you were just something you're not, and we no longer equals. You said we finished, but yeah, you still lived in my crib and my nigga for free though. Why you had to do me like that? Why you had to do me like that? So cold, so cold, yeah. Nigga, you ain't had to do me like that. Say that I'm perfect, the pain that you caused don't deserve it. And now you're trying to make it on your own with no money and no purpose. Ask yourself, damn, was it really even worth it?
Touched the flame, but I just got burned. Broke the rules and I didn't learn that habit. Spent some time that I didn't have, bought some things that wouldn't last. Bad habits. Have to learn the hard way.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.